Welcome to this afternoon's COVID-19 daily update. Thank you for joining us today after a holiday, 4th of July, Independence Day celebration that I hope everybody enjoyed. And it's important to come back here and talk about the results over the weekend and where we are right now in fighting this virus. I'm joined, of course, by Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of the Department of Health, Dr. Jose Romero, as well as A.J. Geary here, Director of ADAM. And then we have Stephanie Williams, who's the Chief of Staff Deputy Director at the Department of Health. I want to first thank all of our healthcare workers that while we were celebrating the 4th and having cookouts, our healthcare workers were hard at work taking care of patients, doing their work on the front line, and I want to express my appreciation to them. And I know that the caseload is heavy, and you're carrying the bulk of that, and we're grateful for it, and we remember the work and the service that you're providing to the state and to your patients. Let's go to the case reports just to look back over the weekend. Saturday reported 587 new cases. Sunday, 605 new cases, and today we have an additional 439 new cases. And so yesterday, total cases were 23,814 in terms of cumulative COVID cases. Adding 439 brings us to 24,253. In terms of hospitalizations, we've seen an increase of 12. That brings us to 337 that are hospitalized. We've had five additional deaths. That brings us to 292. The top counties in terms of new COVID cases, Washington County had 77, Pulaski County 46, Yale County 36, and Benton County 36 as well, with the rest of the counties under 20. In terms of testing, we had 3,615 tests that were taken. And as you can see, that's down a little bit from what we've been doing. Obviously, the holiday weekend, Sunday, has an impact on that number. And so let's go on to the charts, and we'll look at it from a different way. If you look here in terms of the number of new cases, you can see the last 24 hours with 439 cases. You look to the next one, the rolling average, and you can see, and this is better, this shows a flattening out there, which you don't take for granted because you recognize that with 400 and some tests that we had fewer tests over that last 24-hour period. The number of active cases did dip down the last 24 hours. We had more people recover than got sick, so that's a good sign. And then you see the number of currently hospitalized. This is something we watch, obviously, very carefully, not just in terms of total, but in terms of the region and the needs there. And we're going to elaborate on that by region here in just a moment. And then if you look at the seven-day rolling average of new cases in the Northeast region. So we're going to go through each region in terms of cases and then in terms of hospitalizations. So the Northeast region, and you got to put it in perspective, this is 30 cases here. And they had a spike at about 40 new cases a day, and that's come down some. The next one is for the Northwest region. This is good news for our state. You can see a steady decline from the high water mark in that Northwest region. That is very good news for us. The next one is the seven-day rolling average for the Southwest region. And, of course, here you have a couple correctional facilities. And so you had a peak there a couple days, but that's leveled off. And then you go to the central region, and this is one we have to watch more carefully because you see a very steep increase in the last 10 days here in the central region. Of course, the last 24 hours has went down a little bit, but we want to watch that carefully. And then in the southeast region, it looked very similar to the southwest region where you had other correctional facilities. You have some spikes, but you have it flattened out. And then this is the same, just putting it on the same chart, and this is helpful because you can put it in perspective. So the northwest region is the high one that shows you at 200 and some new cases a day in the northwest region, but it's on that downward trend, so that's good. The one that's on the more upward trend is the central region, but it is at a lower level. And so that's at 100 and some cases. And I know Dr. Smith wants to talk a little bit more about that central region. Let's go back to the other one first. And you can see the other ones still are heading the right direction. So the top two are the northwest, even though it's trajecting down, and then central because it's trajecting up. And then we'll go to the hospitalizations, which is very, very important to us. And you look at it by region, even though right now we have more hospitalizations in the state than we've had previously, by region we're not at the high point in the northwest and then in the central region as well. And then you look at each of those. So it's spread out in the different region of the state in terms of hospitalization. While it's tight, we have not reached capacity because we've had higher marks than that. With that, we'll go to the next one, which is the 7-day rolling average on percent positive cases in Arkansas. It is a concern because you've had a couple days that you've reached over 10%. In fact, the last day we've reached over 10% with a fewer number. So that positivity rate is not where we want it to be. We need to have that to go down more. Obviously, that reflects some spread in the community that we want to get that down. And then the cumulative, I do want to announce that because of the chiding of Dr. Smith, we're going to raise the level of our goal for testing in Arkansas in the month of July. And so we set it at 180,000 goal. We're going to increase that to 200,000. That depends, of course, on demand. We believe that will be there, but it also depends upon our testing capacity. We're hopeful that that will be the case. We believe it will be. We're setting our goal at 200,000 for the month of July, which is upward. And so with that, I want to finally review where we are on contact tracing. And we've asked Stephanie Williams to be here to comment on this as well. But as you know, the Department of Health has 80 personnel that's engaged in contact tracing. And then we have 270 partners that are joining with us. So that's 320 really in-house in that Department of Health and partners team. We have just brought on General Dynamics as a contractor to assist us for a $20 million contract price in round numbers. That will bring on an additional 350 contact tracers. They will start this week. And then we'll be selecting a third contact tracer that will add another 350, another price tag of $20 million that we'll be requesting funding for. And so that in the end will give us close to 1,000 contact tracers. So this is a huge increase in our investment there as well as our capacity. It doesn't mean it's going to be perfect in the fall. We'll continue to monitor that, but those are big investments that we're making. With that, I'll invite Dr. Smith to make comments, and then Stephanie, if you could come and talk again about contact tracing. Dr. Smith.
Thank you, Governor. I've got a plain white mask here. This was donated by Junior League of Little Rock. They've actually donated 500 masks to be handed out, distributed at our testing events. So I want to thank Junior League of Little Rock for their support for public health and joining in the fight against COVID-19. Governor, thank you for your report. Just to add a few things to the numbers. As the governor's mentioned, we had 439 new cases yesterday. 8 of them were in correctional facilities. 431 in the community, bringing our total to 24,253. Of those, 6,127 are active cases, 117 in a nursing home, 456 in a correctional facility. So our active cases in the community is 5,554. And we now have cases, at least one case, in all 75 counties. The governor has mentioned we did have an increase in hospitalized. We had a net increase of 12, so we're at 337 total currently hospitalized. Over the weekend, we had over Saturday and Sunday, we had a total of 40, net increase of 40. We currently have 81 on ventilators. That's an increase of 6 since yesterday. We've had 5 additional deaths from yesterday, bringing our total to 292. We have had an additional 701 recover since yesterday, bringing our total recovered to 17,834. So we had more recover in the last 24 hours than we added new cases, which is why our active cases have gone down. The governor mentioned our top counties in terms of cases being Washington, Pulaski, Yell, and Benton. I should also add that we had a few that had over 10 cases. Faulkner County had 19, Sebastian 18, Crittenden 16, and all the remaining counties were fewer than 10. The governor mentioned that overall we've been doing well for testing this month. We had a little bit of a dip yesterday, which is what we oftentimes see after a weekend, but particularly after a three-day weekend. But we are continuing to test. We're particularly at the public health lab testing high priority areas like nursing homes and correctional facilities, which has kept our number of positives up. Couple last things I want to mention. The hospitalizations is a lagging indicator, but that I mean we'll see cases and then we'll see hospitalizations go up after that, because it takes a little while for people usually to get sick enough to end up in the hospital. And so we're going to have to watch that carefully. And we're in contact with those hospitals that have particularly larger numbers of COVID-19 patients to make sure that they have capacity, and we'll continue to monitor that carefully. It is very encouraging that we are seeing not only a plateauing but a downward trend in new cases in the Northwest. We've invested a lot of effort there. We'll continue to do that, because there's always the chance that that could reverse and start going up again if we're not careful. But as the governor mentioned, I'm particularly concerned about central Arkansas, where we have been seeing steady increases. We have a high population, a high population density here, and a lot of individuals at risk, especially those who are attending large gatherings and even small gatherings without face masks put people at risk. So we're going to need to have to not only watch that carefully, but take action so that we don't have something happen in central Arkansas like what we saw in northwest Arkansas, because it could be particularly challenging to control that here. And I think the contact tracing will really help us with that. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Chief of Staff Stephanie Williams to talk about more about where we are with our contact tracing.
Thank you, Governor and Secretary Smith. A couple of things I want to cover about contact tracing. One of the things that we're trying to do is accelerate how quickly we can reach people and inform them of potential exposure. So it's really helpful for us when people answer on the first ring. This is something that we've encountered, our contact tracers having to call multiple times before the phone is actually answered. And so I'd like to give everybody the number that's being used to make these calls. This will be a way that people can help verify that when they see that number that it's actually a legitimate call. The number is 877-272-6819. So that's 877-272-6819. Also, if your phone abbreviates and uses letters, it's 877-AR-COVE-19. So 877-AR-COVE-19. The calls that our tracers are making, they make them throughout the week. They make them on the weekend, but typically they won't call after 8 o'clock. Another thing to remember, if you talk to a tracer, a way that you can verify that it's actually a legitimate call is they'll be providing you information that you can verify. They will tell you why they're calling, either where you've been or who you've been in contact with, so you can verify that. They also won't ask you for money or anything like that. So if you should receive a call that you have concerns about, please feel free to contact us. But those are the ways that you can verify that it's a legitimate call. Also, we've gotten a lot of calls from folks who would like to be employed to do contact tracing or would like to volunteer, which has been great. We are now encouraging folks to go to General Dynamics' website. Their website is www.gdit.com. And then you can add a backslash Arkansas Contact Tracer Jobs to get to the application site. So we would appreciate that if folks are interested that they visit that site and see if it's something they'd like to pursue. Also, for those individuals who have contacted us and asked to be placed on the listing, we have shared that listing with General Dynamics, so you may proactively receive a call from them if you were on that listing. And the last thing is just a point I want to make about contact tracing. We've been asked often about interpreter services. We do have bilingual staff that speak Spanish and Marshallese. We also have a contract vendor that provides translation services to us in 220 languages. Additionally, we can do sign language in both English and in Spanish. So those are just a couple of things that I wanted to bring to everyone's attention today, and I believe that's all. Thank you.
With that, we'll happy to take questions. Yes.
What's the general turnaround time lately for somebody getting a positive test result and then them getting that first phone call from a contact tracer?
Well, the first challenge, of course, is getting the test result. With the Department of Health, that comes quickly. But sometimes the commercial labs, we might have a gap there of 2 to 7 days, and that's too long. And so that is a concern to us in terms of how long from when they get notified of the positive test and the contact tracing. Stephanie, you have an answer to that?
So typically we say no more than 2 days. And, of course, depending on the case, if it's a healthcare worker or someone like that, then we would prioritize those as they come in. But typically we want to make sure that we follow up after the notice from the healthcare provider or testing site that we have initial contact to do the case investigation within that first couple of days and then turn it over to the contact tracing team.
You've commented before on Arkansas' behaviors, especially over the weekend. We just had a 3-day holiday weekend. How do you think the state did based on what you've seen and reports you've gotten?
Well, it's easy to focus on those that were not compliant, that were not socially distancing. And, you know, those get spread around on social media, but it is important to remember that whether it's a business or individuals, you know, worked hard to protect themselves, to protect others, wearing a mask and social distancing. And so there's a lot of good behavior over this weekend. But there is a concern, and Dr. Smith and I have talked about it, as to, what this is going to result in, a week from now, and whether you're going to see an increase in cases as a result of that. So there was some behavior that was not good or helpful over the weekend, and whenever we can do something about that, we will. But to the largest extent, it is about individuals taking responsibility. And as we fight this virus, I ask all Arkansans simply to do what you can. you know, let's take this on and realize everybody has a role to play. Some people are in the hospital working hard every day. Others are doing essential services. But what everybody can do is to help protect from their personal responsibility the spread of the virus.
Those tests start to come back closer to that 7-8 day, as that becoming a growing concern, especially as we're trying to kind of keep on top of this thing?
It is a growing concern, and for that reason, I had a conversation with the White House Coronavirus Task Force this morning on that topic, raising the concern about the capacity of our commercial testing labs as to them keeping up with the demand. And it's not just about Arkansas, it's also about Texas and California and Florida, Arizona, all adding to that mix and putting pressure on the supply chain. There's some specific things that I raised with them that I hope that they can do, and we had a discussion about that, but that needs to be fixed.
Is there any way to expand the capacity or allow more people to get tested through the Department of Health and some of the hospitals, or are they going to continue to be pretty specific in their testing?
All right, so Dr. Smith, I want you to take that one if you can.
Certainly, as I shared before, we have three major capacities for testing. One, as you mentioned, is the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Lab. We can't do this on our own, obviously, but we have brought on another high-throughput instrument. It's going to take a while before it's up and fully functioning, but that will give us not only a surge capacity, but also if one of them is down for one reason or another, we won't be dead in the water. We also have our commercial labs, and as you've noted, we've had some supply chain issues there that has increased the turnaround time in our commercial labs again, and that's a concern. That's what the governor has been addressing. We also have our hospitals that have platforms. Many of them have platforms that can give answers within a few hours, but they have to have the reagents for that, and they're really struggling with that to get adequate reagents to do all the testing that they need to do. So we are expanding our capacity at the public health lab, but we need to make sure these supply chain issues are solved for our commercial labs and also for our hospital labs.
So are we just seeing simple supply and demand here, or is there something else going on in those supply chains?
I believe this is mostly just plain supply and demand.
So you said that you had specifics that you mentioned to the Coronavirus Task Force. I wondered what they were. And every time you increase testing, doesn't that mean you need more contact tracers? And how can you possibly keep up?
Well, as you probably know, I've called for on a couple different occasions that the administration invoked the Defense Production Act in reference to our testing capacity and our supply chain across the country. It's needed now. It'll be even needed to a greater extent, most likely this fall. In terms of the, as we increase testing, yes, you're right. We have to have more contact tracing capacity. And so whenever we first made our projection, we thought we would have an additional 350 and that would meet the need. But as you can see, in the month of June, our cases went up. And so we had to increase that by another 350 and a new contract for that tracing. We will measure it in the future as to whether that needs to be increased again. But we have to bring, and that's a big project for the Department of Health, to bring on the contact tracers, make sure they're trained properly, that there's a good interaction with the Department of Health and with the public. And so that's a big project. We're accelerating that. If we need to do more down the road, we certainly will. And don't forget that we have many that are in the private sector that they will immediately do their own contact tracing. And I think, you know, we have a call that will come, but if, you know, I know in a school system or otherwise, they immediately can do their contact tracing, and then we follow up as well. So it's a team effort that we need to implement, and we've got to increase that very quickly.
There's a bar in Little Rock, Brewski's, I think got its license pulled by the health department for some COVID-related violations. Can you or Dr. Smith give some more insight into that, how the violation was uncovered?
Okay, please note that the first mention of that name comes from a media inquiry. But in terms of that particular incident, that was, you know, we expect compliance with our public health guidelines. And if someone is not complying with those, then if they are not willing to enforce it, then they cannot stay in operation. And so that's an example of where there were violations, and the Department of Health issued a cease and desist order on it.
Do you know where some of the cases from Central Arkansas are coming from, that 10-day increase?
Dr. Smith?
Well, actually, this is what really concerns me the most about our increase in Central Arkansas, as opposed to Northwest, where we could identify particular populations, particular industries, et cetera, and target our approach. We're really not seeing that. We've seen a little, you know, a few things here and there, but this is pretty widespread in Central Region, and so this is going to take a collective action in order to turn this around. There's not the same ability to focus our efforts in one area and expect it to come down quickly. And if we get enough active cases in Central Arkansas, especially the more populated areas like Little Rock, North Little Rock, then the chance of encountering someone who's infected is higher. And so some of the same things that we've been doing all, you know, all throughout this time and hasn't resulted in infections, they are more likely to result in infections. So this is something we do need to be careful of. And that includes things like bars and other facilities. They need to follow the directives that we put in place.
Is there a question remotely?
Governor, it's Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. One for you and one for Dr. Smith, please. Just on the general dynamics, if you said this, I missed it. How long is that contract for, that $350 for $20 million, last how long? And I presume it's the same for the other contractor. And then for Dr. Smith, on people who have been contacted, what's the mechanism when they're asked to quarantine to make sure they're staying in quarantine for the number of days? Thank you.
Dr. Smith, why don't you, well, first of all, Stephanie, that contract will continue as long as is needed. And so, but the first tranche of that contract, how long is that, Stephanie?
It's for a year.
All right, so the contract is for a year. Obviously, we hope that it will be done within a year. But if it needs to be continued, it can be. Dr. Smith?
For those who are in quarantine who are contacted by our contact tracers, we encourage them to enroll in a software program called Sarah Alert that will contact them daily to find out whether they developed symptoms or not. And so we have that regular contact with them throughout the quarantine period. Obviously, we don't have the personnel to go and park outside their door to make sure they don't leave. We give them careful instructions, but if we receive reports that they're not remaining in quarantine, and sometimes we do, then we go ahead and issue an order of quarantine, which is you know, gives a, sort of a legal enforcement to that. So those are the mechanisms that we use to help assure adherence. Now, if the problem is that they don't have a place to quarantine, then we'll work with them to find a safe facility that's appropriate to quarantine them.
Thank you.
Another question remotely.
Governor, it's Rolly Hoyt with THV11. Considering the problems you're having with contact tracing and the limits on testing capacity right now, it sounds like you're flying blind out there in a lot of parts of the state. How much longer do you think before the skies clear up and you get a better handle on how it's spreading and how you can stop it from spreading?
I'm not sure I heard all of that, but in terms of our investment and what we're going to get on it and when we can turn the corner, that really depends upon not just our strategy and investment in contact tracing, the work that we do and the isolation, but it depends upon, to the largest extent, everybody's behavior. And that's where we need every Arkansan to pitch in to do their responsibility, but also what's in their own interest if we're going to have a good fall and have school and have sports. We need everybody to really be disciplined now, and that's what we're asking them to do. And I really appreciate so many others that have jumped in there and said, we want to do our part. But that, to me, is the key. Time frame-wise, I give up on predicting the future. All you can do is work hard at this every day. You know, today I was delighted that our numbers were not like they were yesterday. We'll see what they are tomorrow, but we keep hoping that we're going to be able to continue to bend that curve and reduce that reliance upon our hospital staff that's been so challenging to them. Yes.
Governor?
Let's do one at the table, and we'll come back remotely. Yes.
Thank you. In the past week or so, you've said that clusters and transmission in churches has been an issue. Do you have any updates on that challenge?
Well, the update is that, you know, the word cluster is not something that I would use in reference to the current churches. They've done a great job, and I think the information was that as you do contact tracing, someone will say, well, yes, I've been to church, and that doesn't mean there's a cluster there. And so, you know, I've talked to a number of the pastors. They're really working hard at this, and so I don't want to discourage people from going to church, from worshiping, but they understand that it is important to follow the guidelines, and by and large, the churches are doing that. But Dr. Smith?
We don't have any expanding clusters at this point. We have, as the governor mentioned, in most cases, these are situations where someone who tested positive reported they had been to a church. We did have a couple of situations where it looked like there was a transmission that probably did occur during a worship service. Those situations have been addressed, and we're not seeing any growing clusters there. You know, obviously, you know, we're looking for links between cases. We are able currently to link about 75% of our cases. What I mentioned about Central Arkansas is not that we didn't know where they were coming from, but we can't pin them down to one particularly large event or venue. You know, these are you know, smaller groups of folks who are you know, meeting each other, and that's a little bit harder to control with an action from our part. It requires us to continue to lean forward on our testing and contact tracing, but also depend on the public to take the actions that they need to protect themselves and others.
And then,
Governor?
Remotely, yes.
Yes, this is Mike McNeil at MagnoliaReporter.com. My question is for Dr. Smith.
Okay.
Between Saturday and Sunday, Miller County, which is the Texarkana area, had a surge of 91 new positive cases and 89 new active cases. Can you elaborate on the situation at the Miller County Jail and what that says about the spread of COVID in southwest Arkansas?
Yes, we are aware of cases at the Miller County Jail and have gone ahead and tested all of the all those incarcerated there and the staff. And of the 300, we have something around 90 who have tested positive. So we'll take appropriate action to segregate them, try and prevent the spread of COVID-19. You know, there's always a risk whenever there's an outbreak of COVID-19 in a facility that it could spill over to the community. What we've not seen that so far in our correctional facilities. We've been able to get those under control, and I expect we will with Miller County as well. But obviously, it's a situation that we're paying a lot of attention to, working with those in the community.
Jay.
How behind are we on contact tracing, A, and then B, about how many on average can we sort of pinpoint per day?
Stephanie, you want that, or Dr. Smith?
In terms of behind, It's a difficult question to answer because there is a delay between when a sample is collected and when we get the report, especially when we have longer turnaround times in our commercial labs. But then we are not behind in terms of making that initial case contact, case investigation. You know, sometimes it does take us a little while to get a hold of that person, but that's not, that's to be expected. Where it's challenging then is to follow up on all the contacts in a timely fashion, and that's where having additional contact tracers will really help us. And as Stephanie's mentioned, the governor's mentioned, we'll go from where we are now, which is at about 350. We will double that with this contract, and then we'll triple it with the second contract. So we should be doing much better in terms of our capacity to quickly make those contact tracing and identify those chains of transmission so we can interrupt them.
Well, I guess how long on average does it take to, I guess, sort of case close on any one person?
I don't have the most current numbers on that. Stephanie, do you want to comment?
So it is a process, and so I think case investigation, it's important to understand that that's really an interaction with clinical staff that takes 45 minutes to an hour, so it's pretty time intensive. The case investigation, typically for every patient, they average about 2 to 3 contacts. So those contacts, when we're having those encounters that the contact tracers have, that's about 30 minutes on average. You know, if it's really simple and easy, people remember everything, about 20 minutes, but typically, 30 minutes, sometimes 40 or more, depending on the individual. So, and in addition to that, when people test positive, when people are asked to quarantine, it's a period of time, so 10 days, 14 days, depending on the situation. And so it's not easy to quantify that. So I don't think I answered your question exactly, but hopefully that helped.
Last question.
Something you said earlier, I want to clarify. Did you say that there were now an active case in all 75 counties? And if so, is that the first time that we've seen at least one active case in all 75 counties at the same time?
Dr. Smith did. Go ahead, Dr. Smith.
No, I didn't say it was an active case. There had been at least one case in all counties. We had one holdout going into the weekend, but now we've had at least one case, not active case, but one case.
With that, thank you very much.